When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a Saturday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. The Browns wrapping up day three of the NFL draft. They are done. The league is done drafting. They're on to undrafted free agents, kind of filling out this roster. But I want to start with a player who's already on the roster, and that is Deshaun Watson, because a story you just put up, Mary Kay, is we can officially say, finally, the Deshaun Watson trade is over. The Houston Texans used the final pick in that trade. They used it on Cade Stover, the tight end out of Ohio State. I guess that's ironic, is probably not the word, but I'm going to use it anyway because we all thought maybe the Browns would take a tight end. Anyway, the pick that they gave to Houston ends up getting used on a tight end. So there we go. The Deshaun Watson trade done, sort of.
You know, the weird thing about it is, and I think you guys probably will agree with me on this, when they made the Deshaun Watson trade, and we knew they were not going to have a first-round pick for 3 years. Didn't that seem like that was going to be like way out there in the future? And it's already here. That 3 years is gone. Gone already. It's amazing to me. Six picks the Houston Texans took. And some of the picks that they took with the Watson picks have turned out to be really, really good for them, including their defensive rising star, Will Anderson. Tank Dell got hurt last year, their rookie receiver, but he is going to be really good. And I think when all is said and done, they will have really maximized this trade. But I will say, I do think that there is still a chance that the Browns can win the trade. Because if Deshaun Watson is the player they think he is and the player that they traded for, and he gets them to where they want to go, that's why they made the trade. They made the trade to get themselves to a Super Bowl. And if they get there, they can still win it. Right now, it seems like a long shot because Deshaun is recovering from shoulder surgery, but it's still possible. It is absolutely still possible if he comes back healthy. And why? Because this roster is pretty loaded at many positions. So it's not over yet.
I'm going to make a semantics argument with you after I let Ashley talk a little bit about this trade. Because, you know, this is sort of a moment, right? Like it's done. And of course, we're not going to stop talking about Deshaun Watson. There's still a big part of that story to play out over the next few months. But this is sort of a moment, even if Andrew Berry didn't want to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and I wonder, Dan, if you were going to make this semantics point. But for me, it's like I agree with what Mary Kay said. I think there is still a chance, I think, for the Browns to make this trade either a win for them or a draw, so to speak. I don't think right now that we can say Houston lost this trade. And maybe that's just, again, semantics and word choice there for me. But I think Will Anderson and Tank Dell alone, and those weren't the exact picks. Obviously, the Will Anderson pick was not the exact pick that they got from the Browns in the trade. But they have totally rebuilt this team. It came at the perfect time. Getting those extra picks allowed them to make moves like that and bring these guys in. So for the Browns, I think, okay, it's about how do you not actively lose this trade now? And I think it's by doing exactly what Mary Kay said. It becomes a sort of draw if you win a Super Bowl with Deshaun Watson. But I think the reality is they can't control what the Texans did with all of those extra picks that were the ones they traded away. And it might ultimately end up being a beneficial deal for both teams if the Browns and Deshaun Watson lives up to his expectations.
Yeah, that's sort of where I was going to go. I don't know that, to me, I don't think the Texans in any world can lose this trade. But the Browns can still make this a successful trade for themselves if what you said happens. And I only say that because, to me, like, Deshaun Watson was never going to play another game for the Houston Texans. So the fact that they were able to move him, get those picks, do something with those picks, they end up, however you want to frame it, lucking into C.J. Stroud because they didn't get the number one pick and take Bryce Young, or maybe they would have taken C.J. Stroud. Regardless, they have a really good young quarterback. They've got a really good young team. They found a guy who looks like he's going to be a really good coach. So I think the Texans are well on their way. And had it sort of been like a Texans decision, like, hey, we're going to trade Deshaun Watson, we don't want him anymore, maybe I'd say differently. But I feel like because Deshaun was never going to wear that uniform again, the Texans did what they needed to do. But the Browns can still, like, the Browns don't necessarily lose this trade either. They still can make this a successful trade and make this a win for them. So like I said, it's all kind of semantics, I guess, is how I'm arguing it. But this trade is not over in that sense, because the Browns still have work to do to try to make sure it's at least a win for them or a success for them.
They really do. And we've said this so many times over the past few months, and that is, we just don't really know how Deshaun Watson is going to come back from this shoulder surgery. Not only did he have the fractured glenoid bone, he also has the partially torn labrum. So I actually did talk to a surgeon last week, just kind of for background about this whole thing. And he did say that this particular surgery is better than if he had torn his rotator cuff. So I thought that was interesting. He said he thinks his chances of coming back healthy and strong from this are much better with this type of procedure. So, and I'm guessing that that's how the Browns feel about it. They seem very optimistic. Deshaun feels very optimistic. And even though we have no comp for this, everyone is expecting him to be back for the opener and to play a full 17-game season and playoffs. So they still have an opportunity to salvage this. Deshaun has an opportunity to salvage this. But I do think that this is a moment in time, that it is over today. And it sort of freaks me out a little bit. But that's not the only thing that freaks me out in terms of the passage of time. I remember Myles Garrett. I'm going off script here, but I remember Myles Garrett talking about, maybe I'll play 10 years in my career.
10 or 12 years, yeah.
And he's heading into his ninth season. And that is just mind-blowing to me how fast the calendar turns when you're covering the Browns. It's just the years seem to go by so fast.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, this is around the time when the Browns will start posting, like, the draft photos from their social media. And it's like, oh, I remember covering that draft and being at that press conference. And that guy's in his seventh year or eighth year. Like, David Njoku is in his third year or whatever. But it's crazy to think about that. We're turning this into a passage of time podcast. We're just going to end.
And make the artwork for this the Matthew McConaughey screenshot from True Detective with the can saying time is a flat circle. That's, I think, the world we're living in right now.
We're going to end in tears. Like, just
kumbaya. Yeah. Eighth season, I think. Miles is going into his eighth season. Okay. Not his ninth season, but still, eighth.
That's a lot.
Eight seasons for Myles Garrett. And that's also the same for David Njoku. David's been around, and again, he's still only 18 years old. He's not even able to buy a beer yet. No, not really. But it feels that way sometimes.
So, Ashley, with this trade, it's obviously it has not worked for the Browns to this point. They've gotten 12 games out of him in 2 years. But, of course, like Mary Kay said, everyone's hopeful that he's going to be back and look like the Deshaun Watson, something close to what he was in Houston, something close to what he did in Baltimore in that second half, that we'll see more performances like that. You know, we just don't know yet. So I guess a part of me, obviously, if this doesn't work, if they have to move on from him in a year or 2 years, of course we'll all autopsy this trade and talk about how bad it was. But at the same time, the reality is, if you're desperate and you need to fix your quarterback position, whether it's going after a veteran like Deshaun or even moving up in a draft, you're going to give up a lot. And a quarterback like Deshaun is going to cost a lot. So I think the process of it maybe wasn't necessarily wrong. They just haven't gotten the results out of it. Now, the contract might be the difference in this discussion, but as far as the trade itself, like, that's what you have to give up if you want a guy who you believe is a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and again, we talked about this on a recent pod, but you look back at 2022 and the offseason and that draft, and none of the quarterbacks from that draft, it turned out, were really stars immediately. I don't think they could have gone that route if they kept their first-round pick. Free agency, their options were really nothing at the end of the day. Like, Aaron Rodgers was kind of in his own tier and obviously didn't end up going anywhere that year anyway. So you couldn't have got that. I don't even remember what the other options were. They really weren't super
enticing.
You're
talking like if Jimmy Garoppolo would have become available, yeah, or Kirk Cousins, who didn't become available anyway. You mentioned Aaron. And I know the Rodgers trade was less than what the Browns gave up, but he's also almost 40 years old. Yeah. So that's a key difference. But yeah, there wasn't. And they weren't going to be able to bottom out. Like, they weren't going to bottom out for a guy like C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, they were too good at that point to effectively be able to tank and get a good draft pick in 2023 that would have allowed them to theoretically chase C.J. or Bryce Young, obviously, like the Panthers did. So I just think they really were kind of stuck in this purgatory almost, and it just became really obvious that Baker Mayfield was not going to work here anyways. And obviously it took Baker going to now four different teams to maybe get back to what his true ceiling is in Tampa. And, you know, I don't know if Baker's doing that without Mike Evans either. So I just don't think that there was any other option that we can look at right now and say, man, if they had just done this, they'd be in a totally different place and everything would be amazing and they would have gone to a Super Bowl in the last couple of years. Like, that road doesn't exist in my mind. So I think that's another really, really important part of it. Like, this deal does not exist in a vacuum. There were all these other things happening around them too.
Yeah, and I mean, we should also mention the allegations. He was coming here with all of those lawsuits and all of that. So that's another layer. You weren't just trading for a guy you thought was a franchise quarterback who led the league in passing. He also brought with him 26 civil lawsuits. So that's another element on top of it. But again, just strictly on the field quarterback, like if Caleb Williams, if the Chicago Bears would have kept the Justin Fields and auctioned off that number one pick for Caleb Williams, I bet they would have walked away with at least two first-round picks and more. So, again, Mary Kay, this is just sort of what it costs if you can't, like, organically get a quarterback, if you have to be aggressive and make a deal to go find that guy.
Yeah, and I think if all you have to do is look at the first round of this draft to see how desperate teams are to find that quarterback. I can't wait to see how this quarterback class turns out with all of these quarterbacks going in the top 12. I mean, that is just insanity to me. So that's what teams are doing. They're almost in some ways maybe grasping at straws. You saw what happened with Russell Wilson with the Broncos, and they had to give up on him, and they took an $85 million hit for that. So I think it's going to be an interesting quarterback landscape over the next 3 years to see how all of this shakes out, including what happens to the Cleveland Browns with Deshaun Watson.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I don't want to sit here and act like I'm justified. Like, say, oh, this was a great trade for the Browns. But I'm just, to me, it's, we still have to see it. It still has to play out. And if he does, for some reason, become Deshaun, then great. And if a year from now we're talking about them going the Russell Wilson route, then like I said, we'll autopsy this thing that way and we'll have to talk about it being a mistake. But the Browns are kind of where they are now with the contract, with the quarterback. They can't change this right now, Ashley. So you just kind of have to move forward at this point.
Yeah, and I do think it is important to add all the context to a deal like this. I mean, that is our jobs, right? As beat writers, we're trying to look at all the information, and you don't want to get stuck, I think, swinging really far in one direction on a pendulum on something like this. I do think it needs more time. Obviously, the Browns talk about it, like a 10-year plan with Deshaun Watson. We will see if it ends up being that or if it ends up being a shorter plan by default here because of things that happened in the 2024 season. But I do think that context is really important. I don't think there's an answer to it right now, which might not be a popular opinion. I do think there are fans on both sides of the spectrum that want to paint this right now as, hey, this isn't totally done. You can't say the Texans won. And there are other fans that are saying the Browns got absolutely fleeced by Houston in this deal. I don't think either of those things are true. The truth is going to probably fall somewhere in the middle ultimately. But Deshaun Watson with this shoulder injury, we just need more time to see what it's going to be, because if the Browns go out and win a Super Bowl next year, it's going to be a totally different narrative.
What do they – obviously, the Super Bowl has to be the goal, right? I've always kind of thought over the life of this initial contract, Mary Kay, you've got to at least make it to a Super Bowl and preferably win one. So I think that's the minimum for the contract. But is it – I mean, I guess it kind of has to be Super Bowl or bust. But is there a scenario where they, like, lose in the divisional round this year, but you still feel good enough about Deshaun that you can say, okay, going in the right direction, the trade was fine, let's go?
Maybe this year, but in this five-year span of his contract, if you did not get a Super Bowl appearance out of it, then it was a failure to a degree. And some of it might be, of course, out of their control because of injuries. But that was the goal, to go to multiple Super Bowls. And they have, Andrew Berry has called it a 10-year horizon on this thing. And that's been the plan. So if they don't do that, if they're not challenging for a Super Bowl, then they did not get out of this trade what they went into it for. So that has to happen at some point over these next three seasons, and time is running out, because we're not just talking about Deshaun Watson. We are talking about all these other players that are in the prime of their career. And we already know that Nick Chubb was supposed to be one of those, and we're not sure where that's going to end up yet. But you've got other guys like Denzel, and you've got Miles, and Joel is now starting to, you know, get to the tail end of his career. Maybe he's got 5 years left. I don't know. But we know he's on the back nine, basically. So this whole team is sort of poised to win now, and they've got to hurry up.
Yeah, and I think, too, after 3 years of this, you would have liked to have felt like, okay, this is a 10-year plan. Like, okay, they're going to extend it. Maybe it's going to be after year three or year four. This guy is good. Browns are good with them. They're going to extend him, and we can't say that right now. So Andrew could sit up there and talk about a 10-year plan all he wants. But until we actually see this guy put together a full season and the team have success with him, it's not a 10-year plan. We're doing this year to year right now.
Yeah, I think that's the unfortunate part of it. I do also think it's funny how we've talked about this recently. It's this idea, though, now we're kind of to the point that if it doesn't work out, it is just going to be easier to move on just by nature of there are fewer years left on the deal now, which sounds kind of, again, crazy to think when we talk about the passage of time. So I think ultimately you're just kind of at the point of this trade where, okay, there's the excuses you have now because of the shoulder injury. I mean, I do think in some respects that gives you leeway as the team. I mean, I think we've talked about how it feels like this team has done enough outside of Deshaun Watson that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are safe for, you know, right now. No one's been talking about changes there. And I think the trade doesn't make or break anybody's future really with the team right now either. So I think that's also the nature, just kind of, even though it is that year to year right now and we're still wondering some things, if they do have to move on, I think right by now it's like, okay, it wasn't a total disaster immediately, but it would still be obviously very disappointing.
The shoulder injury might, like, legitimately the shoulder injury might save jobs. If he's bad this year and they have to move on, that is the ultimate, like you were saying, the ultimate built-in excuse of, well, he had a shoulder injury. What were we going to do? So, you know, that might be the thing that keeps these guys employed if this doesn't work out. And right now, at least in April, it feels like these guys would be safe if it doesn't work out.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I guess we should talk a little bit about what happened today. So the Browns took Jamari Thrash in the fifth round, Nathaniel Watson in the sixth round, Miles Harden in the seventh, and Juwan Briggs in the seventh. Draft is done. If you want to talk about just the collective class, whatever, Mary Kay, what did you think of what happened this weekend?
Well, I was a little surprised that they went four defensive guys and only two offensive players. I really did think that they would use the later rounds of the draft to perhaps fill in a few holes. I thought maybe they would find someone to take some of those running back reps that maybe Nick Chubb might not be able to make in training camp or in the offseason program. And I thought maybe they'd look at a tight end. Also a quarterback. I have been writing and saying, and Andrew completely shot it down today. I've been writing and saying that that they were going to need another arm to get them through all of these offseason programs and training camp and mini camp and everything, because Dorian Thompson-Robinson has been struggling with his hip injury. Now, maybe he's getting better. Maybe he's gotten a ton better in the last couple of weeks, and he's going to be ready to practice. I'm not really sure about that, but with both Deshaun and Dorian coming off of these injuries, I really felt that they might have to add another arm. So a little surprised about some of those things, but yes, definitely an emphasis on defense in this draft.
Yeah, Ashley, what stood out to you in this class or from today?
Yeah, I guess if we want to talk about a specific pick from today, I think Nathaniel Watson, the linebacker out of Mississippi State, is an interesting one. Andrew wouldn't really speculate on this, but he led the SEC in tackles. I mean, he was a really good player in a good conference. He's been in college for 5 or 6 years, right, Dan? I know you wrote the story.
Yeah, 6 years. He had the COVID year. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's one of these guys that it's atypical for them to go after somebody older. We know that Andrew's thinking has changed on that a bit because of the COVID years and the age range of players in college kind of increasing the last couple of years. But I do think his size is interesting. He's a little over 6 feet, 233. Andrew talked last week about, hey, you might want to look for coverage players who are a bit bigger. He would certainly fill that. But he's had off-the-field issues, a couple of arrests, right, Dan? That was the...
Yeah, they're a drag racing arrest before he enrolled at Mississippi State. And then he was arrested for suspected DUI last May.
So it's interesting to me because, like, he seems better, but I think the comp in recent years for him is Perrion Winfrey, who's a defensive player that falls to you, that has some maybe questionable off-the-field things, and Perrion obviously didn't work out. His production is better than what Perrion Winfrey's was in college. He's obviously a different position. The infractions are different, but I am curious because I do think, you know, of course they're going to say they're comfortable with him, but I think anytime you draft a guy like that with a pass, there is somewhat of a risk you're taking, and he is slightly older. So I think he's interesting, though, in terms of these guys they got in day three of the draft and who might you see contributing. And I think maybe special teams would be an avenue for him.
Yeah, and for me, I think the thing that stands out is I don't know when these guys play. And obviously, special teams comes into play. So, yeah, Nathaniel Watson could get on the field or a Miles Harden. You know, these guys could get on the field on teams. But just traditional playing on offense, playing on defense, outside of Mike Hall, you know, none of these guys have real defined roles outside of someone getting hurt. So I think this is interesting. This could be like the first Andrew Berry class where a couple of these guys maybe have to fight to make the 53-man roster. I think every year we've just assumed, okay, put all the rookies on the 53. But I think this roster is so strong, and they have so many other young players, you know, the emergence of a guy like a Ronnie Hickman and a D'Anthony Bell and Mahmoud Diabate. These guys all take up spots. So, you know, maybe it's not Nathaniel Watson, but maybe Miles Harden has to fight a little bit to make the 53 and not end up on the practice squad. And just same with Juwan Briggs and, you know, even a Jamari Thrash. Like, I don't think this might be the first draft, Mary Kay, where it's not just write all these guys in pen on the 53-man roster.
Not at all. I mean, this is a tough roster to make. This is a championship caliber roster. This is not 2016, 2017, where they're trying to grab 14 draft picks and fill up the roster with new young guys. These guys will have to fight their way onto the football team. And one of the ways, of course, they can do that is going to be through special teams. So they're going to have to be able to do that for sure. But I wanted to talk about Jamari Thrash for one quick second. This is the fifth straight year that they have drafted a receiver, that Andrew Berry has drafted a receiver, or at least one receiver in a draft. In addition to the six receivers that he has drafted, he has acquired three of them in trades: Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy. So they continue to take swings at the receiver plate, hoping that they can get the receiving core that they need and supply Deshaun Watson with enough really, really good weapons. Once you get to the fifth round, you're kind of taking a flyer on a guy. So we have no idea if Jamari Thrash is going to be somebody that can make the team, that can contribute in any way. He doesn't have special teams on his resume right now or in his repertoire, so he is going to really need to do that if he wants to get on the field or make the team. But I just think it's interesting that they do continue to take looks at these young developmental receivers.
Okay, I think that'll do it. Our draft recap here on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Become a Football Insider subscriber, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. And find us on YouTube, Cleveland Browns on cleveland.com, and on Instagram, search Orange and Brown Talk. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.